Hello, students. My name is Mike Estefan, and I want to thank you for joining me today on this month's deep dive episode on the EM Clerkship Podcast. Today, we're going to dive into testicular torsion, but before we begin, just a quick word from our sponsors over at Pearson Rabbits Insurance. Pearson Rabbits is my own personal disability insurance broker. Guys, I can't stress how important having own occupation disability insurance is as a physician. You spent at least 7 years investing all of your time into this career. You need to protect that investment. And own occupation disability insurance is the way to do that. Pearson Rabbits specializes in helping physicians and other healthcare professionals obtain own occupation disability insurance. Don't wait until it's too late. Check out Pearson Rabbits at www.pearsonrabbits.com and schedule a consultation appointment today. Don't forget to mention EM Clerkship if you do. And now, back to the episode. Testicular torsion, one of the handful of diagnoses that is extremely time sensitive to make in the ED. Remember, time is testicle. We're going to start off by talking about the epidemiology of testicular torsion, followed by the clinical presentation, and finally end by discussing diagnostics and treatment. This will be a shorter deep dive than most prior episodes, just by nature of the topic. So, without further ado, let's dive in. Testicular pain accounts for about 1% of ED visits annually. There is about one case of testicular torsion per 20,000 boys under the age of 18 annually. And here's something that I didn't know until I was preparing for this episode. There's actually a bimodal age distribution for testicular torsion. I think we all knew that this is relatively common during the ages of puberty, like 12 to 18. What I didn't know is that it is also relatively common during the first age of life, as a newborn. Now, there are case reports of this occurring in older men over the age of 50, but this is pretty darn rare. I know this episode is going to be on, and is on, testicular torsion, but what else is on your differential for the painful or swollen testicle? You should be thinking of epididymitis, orchitis, a hydrocele or a varicocele, malignancy, possibly even an inguinal hernia, or a traumatic injury. Clinical presentation of testicular torsion is quite variable. In neonates, scrotal swelling is the most common symptom. In neonates, torsion will often be painless. Now, don't ask me how or why, but numerous sources that I consulted prior to creating this episode mentioned that it is often painless in neonates. In older children and adults, the presentation is sudden onset, lower abdominal pain, or testicular pain with vomiting. Examination is where the money is at here. Don't forget, you must examine the testicles for any male child complaining of abdominal pain, especially lower abdominal pain. Kids are shy and often will be too shy to tell you that their testicle hurts. You don't want to miss this, and the easiest way to not miss this, in my opinion, is to always perform a general examination on male children who are presenting with abdominal pain. On exam, you're looking for several different things. Any sort of asymmetry is concerning. So, a high-riding testicle, or a testicle with horizontal lie, or a palpably firm or visually swollen testicle, these are all concerning. As mentioned during the case, the cremasteric reflex is not reliable. There are many documented cases of testicular torsion with an intact cremasteric reflex, and there are many people who just don't have a cremasteric reflex at baseline. I would not let the presence or absence of a cremasteric reflex dictate your workup and management. Tenderness is obviously concerning, but is pretty nonspecific and can be seen with many of the torsion mimics, such as epididymitis. it is also helpful to look for something called the blue dot sign. This is a small 1 to 3 millimeter blue dot on the scrotum that is usually considered pathognomonic for torsion of the testicular appendage. The testicular appendages have no significant physiologic function, so treatment of this is essentially pain control. Now, there is a scoring system that exists, which can be handy. It is called the TWIST score, and this can be helpful in deciding how to work up the child with a painful testicle. It includes the following findings: the presence of nausea or vomiting, the presence of a high-riding testicle, the presence of testicular swelling, the presence of a palpably firm testicle, and the absence of a cremasteric reflex. We'll come back to the TWIST score in a minute or two. So, you suspect torsion. What's next? If you have a very high index of suspicion, the next step is to call urology immediately. Do not send this patient away for ultrasound without talking to urology first and getting them on their way to the hospital. Torsion can be a clinical diagnosis, no imaging needed. Now, if you have a lower suspicion, ultrasound is the next step, but ultrasound is not the end-all be-all. Remember, its sensitivity is only around 85%, so clinical suspicion trumps all, even a negative ultrasound. The TWIST score can be a helpful guide. It is out of a total of 7 points, and they recommend surgical exploration for scores of 5 or higher, ultrasound for scores of 3 to 4, and no ultrasound for scores less than 3. But in my clinical practice, I am likely getting an ultrasound on every low and intermediate risk patient for 2 reasons. Number one, the medical malpractice landscape in the US is vicious, and ER doctors have been sued for much less than not ordering an ultrasound for testicle pain. Two, ultrasound can be helpful for detection of one of the other causes of testicle pain that we mentioned earlier, such as epididymitis, orchitis, an inguinal hernia, a varicocele or a hydrocele, etc. Okay. Let's say you've diagnosed this kid with torsion. You're at Clerkship General with no urology coverage, and you've got to transport this kid. What's next? If there is going to be any significant delay to surgery, an attempt of manual detorsion is recommended. And to do this, you rotate the testicle in a medial to lateral direction. Picture opening a book, opening a closed book. You grab it in the middle, and you open it outwards. That's medial to lateral. Okay, before we end this episode, let's quickly review. Testicular torsion is found most commonly during the first year of life, as well as during puberty. Any child with lower abdominal pain should be examined for signs of torsion. You're looking for swelling, tenderness, firmness, unequal lie or a high-riding testicle, and the absence of a cremasteric reflex. Some use the TWIST score to help to determine index of suspicion. You have a high suspicion? Call urology, get them downstairs stat. Do not delay surgical consult for ultrasound. Medium or low suspicion? Again, personally, I'm getting an ultrasound on almost all of these patients. The medical legal risk is just too high to miss, but practice patterns may vary here. If there's any delay in definitive surgical care, you should attempt manual detorsion. And that is all I've got for you guys today, short and sweet. Zach, Maddie, and I keep doing this because we love being able to educate others. So, we thank all of you for tuning in and allowing us to continue doing what we love. Med students, tell your friends about the podcast. The more listeners we have, the more time we'll be able to spend making awesome content for y'all. And until next month, keep working hard, keep studying, and be sure to enjoy your shift.